All right, it's the steering committee. We're back. I know we have a lot of new listeners today, so welcome. If you're a new listener, we've had a lot of feedback from a lot of people. Really appreciate you listening. Yeah. And we're outside today. We're not at Brews Beers today.
Yeah.
We love our Brews Beers, but sometimes we need a little peace and quiet. So we're outside enjoying a very smoky weather day here in Denver.
Yeah.
Again, yeah. I think it's, you know, it's all from Oregon. So Oregon.
Yeah.
We can't take the blame this time.
Not this time. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're outside. Beautiful day. I drove up Guanella Pass in the Tiguan today with the family.
Yeah.
That's really a beautiful drive. It's 25 the whole way or most of the way, which ordinarily I would bitch and moan about. But it's kind of nice to just kind of take in the scenery.
Yeah.
And honestly, we ran into two packs of mountain sheep. Am I saying that? Bighorn sheep.
Oh, nice.
And so, you know, yeah. I'm glad I wasn't going faster.
Yeah,
because they
like
hang
all
out
over,
right in the middle of the street.
They're all over in around Georgetown there.
Yeah. And we saw the first batch sort of Kenosha Pass or where you sort of exit near Grant there. Oh, and by the way, have you ever driven through 285 through Grant, Colorado, and there is an abandoned International Harvester automobile dealership?
No.
Yes.
Really?
And there was a sign. They're still trying to sell the used cars. I mean, when did International Harvester start selling or stop selling? What, they had the Travelall or something? It was kind of a suburban competitor.
Yeah, the Scout 2.
Like 78?
Was probably,
did they stop selling?
I think the Scout 2
really,
was the most recent car they sold. Which,
yeah, maybe
so
80,
we're talking,
84?
We're talking early 80s.
Yeah,
so.
And there's a phone number there. If anyone who's listening, I know we have a big, you know, obviously a big Colorado listenership. If anyone knows the story of the Ghost International Harvester dealership in Grant, Colorado, off of 285. Usually, we're driving past, so you don't see it. But when the traffic is tough, you have time to look around.
Right. That kind of reminds me. I'd love to. I feel like I want to do a quick little photo, documentation of some of the great. There's some great Colorado. I feel like auto history things that would definitely make the list. If you go down on Broadway, near downtown.
Yeah.
There are two old buildings across them away from
each
other.
Oh, sure, I know what you're talking about.
One's like a Willie. It still has Willie's Overland written into it.
Yeah.
And on the other side, there's a Studebaker.
Very similar to South Michigan Avenue in Chicago, you know, of course, where I'm from. And,
yeah.
And it's out there, and oftentimes you're just going so fast you don't even notice it. And so sometimes it's a happy accident, getting traffic or whatever. And Guanella Pass, man, we were so impressed with how green everything was, all the wildflowers still.
Yeah.
It was really beautiful, and hardly anyone up there, some beautiful waterfalls and things. I don't know why. That's not a more popular route, I guess, because it's too close to Denver or too close to Breckenridge or something.
Yeah.
And, of course, it's not open year-round, but what a beautiful
It's
drive.
A nice road. I remember I did it once when I had my WRX.
Yeah.
And it was and I got up there early, so I didn't have a lot of traffic. It's got some real – I mean, those are some really – tight switchbacks.
Yeah, it's not
that.
As technical as some of the other, you know, I would say even the road to Mount Evans Squat Pass or whatever, but it's really, I'd forgotten what
it's a nice,
nice
drive. And it's really beautiful when you get to the top there. And
it
then
is.
I think I was really pleasantly surprised with, Georgetown. I feel like it has
Isn't
a nice
that
little
the coolest
downtown.
Place?
Yeah.
A little old fire stations that they have. It's such a neat town.
Yeah, I liked it.
But again, I think it's the curse of almost being too close to Denver.
Yeah.
Like, it's only about 45 minutes or so. Yeah, Idaho Springs, I feel like, you know, you're not quite ready to stop for lunch.
You think you're always driving past that to something else.
But
we recommend it.
It was just a reminder that sometimes a slow drive is fun. You don't have to, you know, do 100 miles an hour in a Porsche all the time either. But I had some crazy news yesterday. My dad calls me up, and he is shopping for a car. So we're going to totally rip off the Everyday Driver podcast today.
Yes. Yeah.
Those of you who listen to this show probably listen to that show and their shtick, and we think it's a great show. We love those guys. But their shtick is, you know, you call in, you've got a budget, kind of car history, what you're thinking about, and you guide that, you know, guide the listener in the right direction. And so I think we're going to give this a shot, Doug.
Yeah.
So
for today, we're going to be the Everyday Steering Committee.
We are. It's, I guess that probably makes the most sense. So a little backstory. So my dad is, I think, he's gonna be 72. His car history is, growing up, we always had Volkswagens. I remember having a couple of Rabbits, a Beetle, I think, is probably what I was brought home from the hospital, and an air-cooled, obviously. This would have been the mid-70s. You know, we had a couple of Dodge Caravans, you know, Plymouth Voyagers. We had a Jeep Cherokee growing up. Fast forward to more recent years, he was driving a Land Rover Discovery 2 for a long time. He's had a couple of Minis. Miatas. He, when I was in high school, I talked him in an E30 BMW, which was pretty sweet. The current lineup, though, is a 1996 Miata M edition. Mm-hmm. He's got a, I think like a 2012-ish Mini Clubman S. Mm-hmm. The Miata's a manual, the Mini's an automatic. And then they've got sort of a, you know, a beater Subaru Forester, probably 2010 or something that was that kind of fell into their laps. And so mm-hmm. he is planning on selling those three cars.
Okay, those are all.
And gone. Throwing in about, I don't know, let's say he's got a $60,000 to $80,000 budget, probably closer to 60.
Okay.
But he'll be getting rid of all those three cars. Actually, no, I take that back. Let's say he's got a $100,000 budget, but he's got to get an everyday driver. Mm-hmm. Daily driver,
yeah.
And then he's got to get a sports car too, and he wants to put most of the funds, probably 3/4 of the funds, into the sports car.
Okay.
So let's just say he's got a $60,000. He could probably spend a little bit more, but as well, I think we'll get into, it's a great healthy budget.
Yeah.
But he'd have a lot more choices if he had a lower budget, because.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. He'd have a lot of fun options below that.
Yeah.
But
it's got to be a manual.
Yeah. Well, and I guess suppose it's sort of making the distinction of whether he's going to buy new or if he's going to buy used.
I think the intent is to buy new.
Yeah, I think it's either new or maybe like, you know, like just barely like certified pre-owned, like at least, but probably new. So
he lives in a part of the country that's a good hour and a half away from even a domestic dealership, and probably 2.5 hours away from a Porsche, BMW. You know,
okay.
Audi, and they're probably all in the same building.
It might be the same building.
Yeah,
dealership.
So nothing too exotic. So no used Astons or Ferraris or anything that. But it's got to be a bit of a statement piece, I think. He has never bought himself something like this. He's usually gone used or maybe stopped a little short of what he really wanted, I think.
Yeah.
You know, and Miatas are great and Minis are great, you know, are wonderful. But I think he wants to join the big leagues here a little bit.
Yeah.
He's
seen the fun that you've had.
Yeah.
Right,
you know, something with 300 horsepower or more, I think, is what he's going for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he mentioned a few things. He mentioned something.
Well, let's be clear. So strictly speaking, the criteria is 2-door,
60 to 80,000.
Yep. 60 to 80,000 manual transmission,
300 or more horsepower. So no WRXs or whatever. Again, as much as we love those,
yeah.
Probably rear wheel drive, I think, is where he's going here.
Yeah,
kind of very much where I was 3-4 years ago when I was shopping around, and I was cross shopping the M2, which was relatively new at the time, mm-hmm. with the new 718 Cayman,
mm-hmm.
and I ended up going, as we all know, I've bored you all to death on the podcast here.
Mm-hmm. Did you sew a base Cayman? I didn't know.
What's that?
I didn't know.
I did. The best car ever. except for the GT4, but such a great car. I mean, it shares so. I mean, again, we'll get into this, but the base Cayman was no less joyful, full of joy to drive than the GT4.
Yeah.
The GT4 is just everything turned up a couple notches, you know.
Yeah.
And so he's sort of in that dilemma I had, you know, that budget.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he wants, you know, really a true sports car, I think, is what he's going for. I thought maybe the new Corvette would be great, but of course, no manual, at least not yet.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the M2 would be perfect for him, but what else is in that space? I mean, it's the Cayman and the M2, right? The Supra only has a manual with
the
smaller engine,
almost
right?
It would almost be there, except that, the manual, I think, is only available on the
2-liter. Is that right? Yeah, I know it's not on the bigger one.
Right. So if you want the straight six, you have to get an automatic.
And is a Toyota special enough? Even if it is a BMW.
I don't know.
And he doesn't want a convertible either, so that rules out like a Z4 or anything like that.
Yeah, so hard top, fixed top.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Okay.
So again, say 60,000, give or take, 60 to 80. Manual transmission, 300 plus horsepower. Probably should be a 2-door, should probably be rear-wheel drive.
Yeah.
And something that is a bit more of an event, right, than say, you know.
Because to be clear, because what he's planning to do is he'll spend some of his budget will be spent on another car that's kind of the daily driver.
Yeah, we're not even going to talk about that today.
That's
we're
fine.
Just going to talk about
the
fun
point
one,
is,
yeah.
So this car, even though it lives in Wisconsin, this car does not need to have all-wheel drive.
No,
does
this
not,
would strictly be a
this
summer,
is,
a weekend
this is like
fun
a,
car.
Yeah, this is a fun weekend, you know. Sports car.
You know, like a lot of guys, I mean, my dad's not fully retired, but a lot of guys, you know, you get to retirement and you want to get that car you've never bought yourself kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, a 911, a new 911, I think is out of his budget, especially an S, which is where you'd have to get for the manual.
Yeah.
I think if they were offering it the base, maybe he would look at that. But
yeah.
I think realistically, we're looking at some version of a Cayman. mm-hmm. some version of an M2. Mm-hmm. What else is in that realm? Like, it's not, there's not a lot. Like I said, if you were spending a little bit more, a little bit less, I think you'd have more options.
So, I mean, just to say, I mean, just to get it all out there, what is out there that would fit that? I mean, I'm sure you could, and I'm not as familiar with this sort of model, so I don't know exactly which one you'd get, but I'm sure that gets you a lot of, you know, Camaro ZL1.
Yeah, I thought about a Mustang GT350.
Is that right?
Yeah,
Mustang.
Yeah,
it gets you, it definitely probably gets you into a well-specced Mustang GT, maybe a Mach 1, I think, package that they do now. I don't feel like these things are quite, I don't know your dad, but I don't feel like based on his car history that these are sort of hitting the mark.
No, and he even mentioned a Hellcat. I mean, obviously those are available in a stick or something like that, some hypo, you know, Mopar.
What is a non, like, Demon or Red Eye, like, Hellcat go for? What is, like, sort of a base Hellcat?
Every time I look, it's a different lineup, and I don't know what the current lineup is, but, you know, obviously there's just sort of the base Hemi, right? The SRT or whatever you want to, that's not the base Hemi, but there's the, I think just the SRT. I got a BMW.
You got a horn.
We were just talking about, I haven't been stung by any sort of flying insect in my whole adult life. I've been stung twice this week, and apparently I'm not alone. I went to the hardware store.
Everyone's
here.
Everyone's had a problem.
Yeah, I think I talked about this in the last episode. They're everywhere. So I think realistically speaking, it's probably not going to be an American car. Mm-hmm. Although it would make maintenance a lot easier for him.
Yeah. I'm guessing, so that 2-hour drive he has to use to get to like a premium German
brand.
Well,
he's doing that now with the Mini.
So it's a quicker trip. So.
And in his words, you know, I'm probably chopping this up a little bit, but butchering this, but he, you know, the Mini has the dealership he's dealing with has not been a premium experience.
Okay.
You know, like you go and you get the wiper blades, you know, replaced and leave the old one under the hood or something. It's just that kind of crap.
Okay.
As we've talked about in detail, there are good dealerships and there are less good dealerships.
Yeah.
And we obviously, when we find a good dealership, we talk about them a lot. And we
appreciate it.
Yeah, yeah. So. Oh, and he is in my beer.
That hornet just flew right into your
beer. All
right,
that's okay.
Yeah.
Just make sure I don't drink that, though.
Yeah, well, he's in the hornet backstroke.
And because I'm an animal lover, I can't let him drown. So I'm going to pour out the beer and see if he can find his way out. On to the next beer. But so I think realistically, I mean, if 60 to 80,000, manual transmission, 300 plus horsepower, 2 doors, and more of an event car.
Yeah.
In my eyes, there are two choices.
Let me probe a little bit. So this 300 horsepower number,
he escaped.
Do you think that he did? He's walking
around. Listening, yet. Wondering if this hornet got away. Well,
yeah,
he won't do that
away.
Again.
Yeah, he's. I'm not sure.
Looks a little drunk.
Yeah, I don't know if he's doing the roadside test right now. That you're
right. He's walking the line.
Yeah,
right,
he's
touching
line.
His finger to his hornet nose.
Do you think this is the 300 horsepower number just sort of what he assumes like a real more potent sports car has to have, or
no,
do you think it's more like a power to weight thing? Like,
yeah,
it has,
I think
to
I
feel,
probably
has to
added
feel.
That part, but I mean, okay. I think you'd be a fool to spend $60,000 to $80,000 and not get 300 horsepower.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really think there's any. I can't think. I'm not thinking of anything that's in that price range that's like less.
What is it? An
horsepower.
STI like $45,000-$50,000, right?
And
there's gonna be
a new
one out, but that's not gonna be it for him.
A well-specced STI, or you know, your basic STI is somewhere in the 45 to 47 range. Yeah,
I don't think that's going to be special.
It's 300 horsepower, 300 pounds per feet.
I would totally steer him in that direction if you were looking for something to drive every day too.
If you needed like a one car type thing, that was also really fun. But it's also the problem I always have with that too. I love those cars, but I almost feel like I'm aged out of them.
I was reminded of the, and again, I know we have plenty of Subaru listeners, but I almost was reminded of your typical. Or should I say stereotypical WRX driver today. As I was going up 285, I signaled to pass someone, and then a guy who up to this point was just cruising in the left lane decides to floor it and get right on my bumper after I decided to signal to get around someone. It's that kind of garbage. But and I think at 72 he's definitely aged out of that. Although it would be funny to see him in a flat build.
We'd have to get him a flat build hat and a vape pen.
And not only do we have Subaru guys listening, we have one. I'm talking to one right now.
Oh yeah,
so
I make these jokes
not
knowing
a dig.
That I did not. I still drive a Subaru. Right
now. We're all fans. It's all.
I love it. I mean, I actually am missing my old hatchback.
And there are plenty of people that say Porsche drivers are pricks too. So it's okay.
Oh, is there any baggage associated with Porsche drivers or BMW drivers?
Apparently.
Yeah, I didn't know.
Based on the hand gestures, I seem to get when I'm out and about. I think there's a little stigma there, Doug.
We'll do a whole show on the stereotype of every sort of owner.
Well,
we've
talked about this. You can take the GT4, and I can only imagine like a purple GT3 RS or something. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can be doing 20 miles an hour and people are telling you to slow down. So yeah, it's that kind of thing. But yeah, I think that's off the table for him.
Okay.
But are there really, I was thinking,
there's not,
I'm Googling,
there's not a lot else out there. I think they covered almost everything there. I mean, you know, that Alpine A110 would be great.
Wouldn't that be cool? That's a great call. But that's not even available in the stick, is
it? Not available in the States and not available with a transmission.
I'm shocked that car isn't in a stick.
I've just heard such great things about it in terms of, like, you know, how light it is and how sprightly it
feels. So under the radar. No wings, no, like, you know, big front air dam. You know, they're just, it's all about the lightness. It's such a cool car. I see them, you know, I watch Misha and Apex, you know, his channel, and I see them on the Nürburgring.
Yeah.
And those things beat up on, talk about punch out.
They punch out the
It's like a Cayman. They're just really, really
They're popular. All the European journalists that I follow on YouTube and online, they're all big fans.
And they're dealing
with
a lot less horse, I think 250 in the standard model or something. So
I think so. And it's just, but it's just so light.
So light.
Lightness adds, you know, performance in so many ways.
They're funky, but funky in a good way, like a lot of French cars are, right?
So. Oh, and I got to say, speaking of Alpine, I got to give a quick shout out to, I watched the Hungarian Grand Prix last weekend. Alpine Formula One team, formerly Renault Formula One team, got a win this week. Crazy start, but I got to watch which is really fun. You always get to watch a driver win his first Grand Prix, which happened this weekend.
I remember my first. No,
yeah. It's in my dreams. Anyway, so whatever. I guess shout out to Esteban Ocon and from the Alpine Formula One team for his first win.
Is that the same thing?
It's the same company.
Again,
this
is not.
Alpine is a division of Renault. So it's kind of like they've kind of sort of segmented it as like their Porsche, you know, sort of division.
Right. I don't know if I knew that. Nice AMG.
And they switched they switched the livery for the Renault Formula One team. They switched it to the Alpine livery, and they're in these beautiful light blue colors with the French flag on it. Looking car. But Esteban Ocon, he's sort of a rags to riches story.
Okay.
Parents had to, like,
instead of one of these riches to rags stories.
Usually that's how it goes in racing. You go riches to rags because you spend all your money on it. But his parents had to, like, mortgage their house to buy him a go-kart to get him into racing. And he's a Formula
Since we're talking
one
about
winner,
my dad, I can tell you with some certainty that they never would have done that for me.
I know. My
as much as
either.
They did for me.
No, I know. I
think that's where they stopped, mortgaging the house for a go-kart.
I know, right? So. for this particular family, it paid off.
What could have been, Doug.
Yeah, I know.
You and me.
My parents.
We could have been stars.
Obviously. That's all that was holding us back.
That's right. That was the only thing.
Formula One greatness.
Talent. Check the box. Yeah, I'm kidding.
Anyway, sorry, I digress. But all right, well, I think we've done a good job. We've set the table. We know the parameters. I think maybe we'll take a quick break. We'll come back and kind of discuss the pros and cons of each of our top choices here. Yeah,
we'll be back. We're back. Gave us a chance to crack open a couple of new beers. So there's that. A couple things I forgot to mention about our I don't want to call him our hypothetical car shopper because he's my dad, but you know, Matt Ferris got his dad on. I can talk about my dad, right? I wanted to mention a couple things. They have a gravel driveway that's a little steep.
Okay.
You could probably get a base Cayman up that, but probably not a GT4.
Okay.
If that tells you anything.
Ooh, okay. Well, that's interesting.
So
you're aware that the we'll talk about one of our choices. I'll have to ask you if that's
okay.
Be a problem,
okay.
So
I think though, we talked a little bit before we got on the show here. In my eyes, there are two very clear options. I'm not saying these are the only two, but knowing him and sort of knowing what his budget and parameters are, I'm thinking it comes down to a new M2 or a new base Cayman T, or possibly a Cayman S.
Okay.
Right? And not to rehash an old show, but again, I had the same dilemma. I ended up going with a Cayman.
Yep. No, and when you were shopping, the Cayman T was not an option. So
I bought that when the 718 first had come out, so the T wasn't on the table. Yep. And at the time, there was a bit of a gulf, probably about 8 or 10,000, I think, between a base Cayman and a base T.
Yeah.
Now that gulf has shrunk a bit.
Yeah. Theoretically, because the T didn't exist, but yeah.
Especially when you see what the T comes with, you know, automatically, or, you know, default.
Right off the shelf. So, yeah. All right, well, which one should we discuss first?
Start with the M2, because,
again,
the landscape has changed since I was shopping, say, was that about 4 years ago, late 2017, I guess it was.
Mm-hmm.
The M2 is relatively new, as was the 718.
And the M2 was new, a new model, and it was basically just what we would call like the base
M2.
M2,
right? Yeah, that was the only one.
Just the only, yeah, just
but
an M2.
Since
yeah.
two more models.
Yeah, and I think basically at this point the competition is the only one that's still available.
Right. So now, it breaks down M2 called base, then the competition, and then as of late there was the M2 CS,
yeah.
Which is the big dog. Now they all basically the CS has a different engine, I think, is the big thing. We should have done our homework, but I believe that the M2 and M2 Comp have the same engine. I believe that the new CS has the new M3 M4 engine in it. Okay. And I think that's the big distinction. In addition, it's got some nice fancy wheels. It's got, so the CS is, if getting price no object, you want the CS.
Yeah.
But not only is the sticker price higher, but people are paying closer to $100,000. And so even if you had the budget,
I think MSRP is like $89,000.
Right. And at that price, as wonderful as that car might be, I would probably steer him into something else, honestly.
Yeah, I think so too.
I've only ever driven the M2, the base one. And this was when I was cross shopping for a Cayman.
I have heard, and I from what I understood, people loved the M2 when it came out. The journalists all raved about it.
It was great.
It was a great return to form. It was sort of BMW doing the small sports sedan thing, which is really that's in their DNA.
Yeah.
But that everyone, once they drove the competition, it was almost like, well, this is a giant improvement over this first version. So it's almost like if you don't ever drive the competition, the M2 would feel fine.
And that's it. And you probably won't.
So the competition. Yeah.
Is what's available right now.
Yeah.
If you want to go in and buy something at
it's what's available sticker. On the BMW configurator right now is the M2 competition. So.
Because, as we know, there's a new 2 Series coming out. Not the Grand Sport that you drove with front-wheel drive. We're going to come back to that.
Yeah.
But there will be, as I understand it, a new rear-wheel drive 2 Series that then the M2 and the performance models will be based on.
Yeah. So right off the bat, and I think even on the configurator, they've switched it over for the base 2 Series and the M235.
Well, maybe
that's the new body style, the new platform. But it's the old M2 is still what's available right now.
And you could always say, hey, wait 6 months, see what the new one is, or a year.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think one of the other reasons I'm sort of behind him buying a new one is we've all been on cars.com and all the sites recently and seen that used cars, for all intents and purposes, are just as expensive as new ones. So you might as well go have the full, pull the sheet off the car experience.
Yeah,
you know?
You might as well, because you're basically having to do that anyways to buy like a 2 or 3 year old car with 20,000 miles, 30,000 miles on it. Right. I mean, there's a premium, or there's like a markup on the used car, whereas like the new car is still wherever it was priced before. So you might as well just do that. Yeah.
The only reason to not buy a new one is if either you can't get your hands on one, say like with a GT car, or you know, your credit isn't good enough to go new or whatever, basically. Hmm. Or you're in some place where you know, maybe you don't have a BMW dealership, but you found a used one, or there's a private party. But right now, and I think you would agree with me, I would not buy a used BMW performance model or Porsche right now used. Not if you can get the same thing new.
Yeah, no. If we're within like 20% to 30% of value, I wouldn't do that. No.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if an older BMW M car drops way off and it's in the, you know, it's in the sub 20,000 range, that's different. That's a different.
But then you have old BMW problems.
Of course, yeah. But I mean, and you just have to know that going into it. But what I'm not going to do is I'm not going to buy like a practically new one that is old and still pay like a higher used car.
And he's going to go in and pay cash, as I understand it. So that gives you some.
Well, and I think he's in a position too, which I think should be part of the experience. I think this is why he should go new. There's some fun in like being able to go and like pick the car you
absolutely
want, you know. You rarely get to do that, you know.
And with BMW, I think BMW still does. I know Porsche does. There's European delivery.
Yeah.
And you know, I mean, of course.
Porsche.
I would love to do that.
Porsche, it's an option now you pay for, unfortunately. I think it used to, or maybe it's a zero cost option.
I think it's a zero cost option.
It might be a zero cost option. And I think you have a choice of where to pick it up, whether it's Leipzig or
Stuttgart.
I think BMW might have canceled theirs. I don't know. But
I think it's COVID related, though. I think it's coming back.
Maybe it's coming back. Okay. Yeah. I guess let's get back to the BMW M2. One thing that I think you and I liked when we looked at it is that there's not a lot of options. It's like it comes with almost everything you'd want on it.
And we should probably give a disclaimer here. We're not really quote unquote BMW people. I've owned a BMW. I appreciate BMWs. But when what's the Robert Frost poem, you know, the road diverged and I, you know, the path took the different. Yeah. I sort of locked into Porsche. Yeah. Right. And so that's, no, I'm on my third.
Yeah.
But BMWs, I don't want to diminish BMW. BMWs are awesome. It's just, I think personally, you and I aren't as knowledgeable. And so if you're listening and we're making mistakes.
And we're making your heads are exploding because we don't know the exact codes on these things.
Right.
So all the number nonclementures.
Right.
Yeah. I agree. I wouldn't call myself a giant BMW fan. I would say I'm a big fan. I've always been a big fan growing up of the M3,
mm-hmm.
and I've been a big fan lately of the M2, just because I feel like that's great.
Yeah,
it's what, again, it's like what BMW does well: a small sports sedan that handles like a sports car, has a straight six in it, for just a little bit while longer.
Yes, and that's a question too. Will the new one be a turbo four, kind of the set like the 718, or will they keep the inline six? I think they'll keep the inline six.
That an inline six has been.
I think they learned their lesson from Porsche.
I think on the mid range ones, a straight six is available, so there's no reason why it wouldn't be available on the M version. So, but it might be the last one though. I would think.
Well, yeah. So, specifically now, I guess because it's the only one. We're talking about the competition, the M2 comp versus, we'll get to the Porsche later. So,
very few
options on this car.
Very few options, but one of them, which I think we both did the configurator and we would check off for your dad, would be to go ahead and do that performance experience center down in, I think in South Carolina.
Yep, where you pick up the car.
You go down there, pick up the car. They'll teach you it'll be tailored to the particular car you buy, so they'll tailor it to that car for him. Have some fun with that.
So I have a question, though.
Yeah.
What happens to this break-in period when you do the delivery?
Well, I wondered, I thought that, too. I'd like to, maybe someone can confirm this for me. I wonder if they give you, like a factory M2 to...
I kind of hope so.
I hope so, yeah.
And based
on
the price, I would think so.
I don't know that
for sure.
We don't know that for sure. But the point is, they tailor the experience to the particular model you bought. So you'd get one for the M2. And then you get to drive. I feel like you get to have a nice, drive home. You know, get through that break-in mileage with it. And
don't get me started on the paint protection film, but that's.
Yeah. I know that maybe we can arrange to get it done for him.
I think more and more manufacturers are making it available from the factory.
Yeah.
But of course, there's some back and forth about the quality of a factory paint protection film installation, et cetera. But,
Well, okay.
We can worry about that later.
But the thing you also – apparently you get with that when you order that, you also get the higher top speed in your car. They unlock a little extra top speed in it, which that just bothers – it bothers me a little bit that
you don't just get that automatically.
But
Well, you wait till they have a subscription model where you have to pay every month to keep that high
top speed,
right?
Oh, my God.
We're not going to stand for that. But,
no.
But
no,
so
but
regular
we'll
top
pitch,
speed
we'll get the pitchforks out
155,
for that,
so. Right?
Yeah, I think
does
so.
Anything else change, the tires or anything, or is it strictly just a limiter?
Of.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I think the top speed is probably closer to 180. Is that what we determined without the...
I don't know. Did we determine
I think
that?
It is 180 or 183 or something. Otherwise, you're stuck at a paltry 155. But you never know when you might need that extra 25 miles an hour.
It wouldn't even just be because I would use it. I would just be annoyed that I don't have it.
Well, right. And I would argue most tracks you'd probably never
even see it. Even if it was 5 miles an hour,
I
would be annoyed by it. Yeah.
You're already spending 60 grand or more on a car.
Give me what the car can do. I don't want this isn't like a, what is this, like a video game where I have to like
It's a little silly.
Yeah, so.
Well, or if you get any, just hit left up twice and then right down a cut. No, I'm kidding.
I bet there is something.
There's got to be something, right?
Yeah.
So...
All right, so then...
We were basically saying there are very few available options, and that is one of them.
But it comes just well-specced right out the gate.
Right. So what are they? Let's talk about the options.
Yeah.
You get two wheel finishes.
Yeah.
You get a darker wheel or a lighter wheel.
Yeah.
You get one of two interior accent colors, either orange or blue.
Yeah. They don't. That's just.
Otherwise, everything else is black.
Yeah,
and gray.
They don't. Yeah, they just. It just.
You get either shiny trim bits or carbon fiber. And again, all these are no cost options, which is cool.
It's just a personal preference.
Yeah. What do you prefer?
Yeah. There's with the paint. I think there's some standard colors like your white and black, and I think maybe gray.
Yeah, there are three
or
four.
You pay about $500 for some of the more
vibrant which is
colors.
Cheaper than Porsche.
Yeah, yeah.
And
in
the hit against one of the problems I had with the very first version of the M2, the non-comp, the non-CS, was that there were four colors. There was a Carrara metallic white. There was a metallic black, a metallic gray, and then a metallic teal. And I'll be honest, I wasn't real crazy about any of them.
Yeah.
And you can now get a silver. In fact, there are two different silvers, if I'm not mistaken. There was at least one silver.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, I think there's silver, and I think there's sort of like a maroonish red type color.
Which I'm sure is beautiful, but silver is just timeless on a BMW, I think.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's,
I would, and then I what would else? Be Well, that was about it.
Was,
as far
there
as I
even, like,
there was a bunch of maintenance. Then it was kind of getting me into the maintenance plans.
There were like four things. I was
you
compare that against any Porsche model where you, you have like 38 million possible combinations.
Not to mention every other BMW model, even, I would think.
Well, you would think. So. And I don't know if it's just because it's a special model. I kind of like this model of of them, how they do this. But so basically,
it's exactly like what I do when we go to like restaurants, even like, you know, fancy restaurants or like just sort of good fast casual.
I hate
casual.
A giant menu.
I'll get the waiter or waitress will ask me like how I want something, and I'll be like, you tell me how the cook would want it, and that's kind of what I want. How would BMW
this
car? You know,
To a nice restaurant, they have a menu like a Greek diner.
Yeah,
like I want the adult version of the kids menu where I have three things.
Yeah,
whatever the adult version of it is, the hot dog, the corn dog, and the chicken nuggets or whatever.
Perfectly prepared.
You know what I mean? Right? Yeah. Like, and just call it a day.
But if there's any variation on how you can arrange it, I want the expert, the guy who's back there cooking it, to do it the way he would do it. I want to see how he would or she would prepare it. So it's the same thing with BMW. They're experts at this. How would you throw this out?
Yeah. And we've talked about this before. Almost all the options for Porsches are, most of them aren't performance related.
Yeah.
So you are going to have just as much fun, you know, and just say, you know, say, just pick any 911. A base 911 is going to be just as much fun to drive as a base 911 with $50,000 in options on it.
If it's
there are some performance things, rear wheel steering, and you know.
Yeah, but when you're getting into all the comfort and convenience stuff, it's still the same driving experience. But all right, so we like the M2, and it's the last year of this body style. Hopefully, the new one will be just as great. But I always get a little nervous when there's a model transition.
Yep.
This one is great.
It could be worse.
It's great. Yeah, no, we know this one is great. We don't know what the next one will be.
No big nostrils on this one. I hear.
The new design looks
great. Bucktooth Wonder to reference an old past episode.
The pictures I've seen of the they have them out. They're fully available.
Yeah.
It's a very good-looking modern BMW.
It is. Nothing you don't want. No crazy heads-up displays, I don't think. Anything like that. There's no virtual dashboard or anything like... You know, you get... The one thing, and this was something, Doug, it was something I couldn't get past when I was cross-shopping, is the tablet in the middle. You can't cover it up. You can't retract it. Mm. It's always there, and it's not in the dash. It sort of sticks up on the dash.
Oh, okay.
Mm. Now, 4 years of... What's the word? Looking back or whatever. 4 years of being able to think about this, it bothers me a little bit less because so many cars now do that. Mm-hmm. But I also think a lot of newer cars integrate it better. So because this car is now 5 years old, I feel like this issue has been engineered out of most new cars.
Yeah.
But this is in that weird transitional stage where you have the tablet stuck to the dashboard.
Yeah, the dash probably wasn't originally designed with the tablet in mind.
You can turn it off, I assume, and all that, but it's still there.
I hope so. But
it's like an iPad. Okay. And it kind of bothers me. But if you can get past that, it's a great car.
Okay. And in terms of driving experience, I know we don't have to go into where you went into this.
Sure.
But like...
This is a different driver with different priorities.
And it's always what you're used to when you step up to the next level. It's always sort of like, so if he's used to his Miata and he's used to the Mini as like sort of like the more performance-oriented cars he's been driving recently, this will feel like a big upgrade than both of those.
I think so. You know, he hasn't
This will be a dramatic step up.
It is. He hasn't driven the GT4 that I have now, but he did drive my previous Cayman, the base Cayman.
Yeah.
And I think he really liked it. I think he was with me that we both agreed it wasn't as pretty looking as my 997. It was a lower spec car.
If we're talking, if we're kind of doing pros and cons, like the M2 for him will feel like, if he doesn't drive anything else, he will feel like he's driving a special car.
Absolutely. I guess that's what I mean.
He'll feel like he's driving a very high-performance car.
The nicest car he's probably driven in recent memory was my previous Cayman.
Okay.
So
and
that's
never,
sort of his high water mark.
He's never owned anything that's like sort of in this league, really.
Not really. I mean, always nice cars, you know. Yeah. You know, but not...
But not perform. Not nothing this high-performing.
Not this level. Right,
So. I mean, the Miatas that he's been driving, frankly, would probably be the one that's like the most sort of...
So that I think is, it's a 96, so it's like 138 horsepower.
Yeah.
The Mini that he has is probably like 210 or something.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah, but I mean, the Miata's underpowered, but at least it's a very good chassis. That's probably the highest.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's like the nicest sort of like performing
but
car.
But either way, it's going to rock his world.
Yeah, this will feel like a big, significant step up. Yeah. So it'll hit that. He doesn't really need the two seats it has in the back, it sounds like.
No, and that's
him.
A great point.
Yeah.
You know, he's not going to throw the dog in this car.
You know? I hope not. Yeah.
And they have lots of friends. Sometimes I think they have a lot more friends than I do, but I don't think he's going to be taking them places in this car. Okay. He'll leave the daily. You know, I don't want to dwell on the daily. I think he's probably going to go for something like a Grand Cherokee or,
something four-wheel drive with four seats, four doors. It'll be like
probably
a
not a Land Rover this time. So
So for him, the back seats are really not a positive. They're not necessary.
Neither here nor there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think he did mention today when I talked with him that even though it is a two-door, he liked the idea of something that wasn't just a sort of a repurposed sedan, right?
Yeah.
And that's kind of how I felt, too.
Okay. Well, and I can hear him on that because this is what we're talking about. This is really special sort of like car, you know, like you said, for the stage of life that he's in right now. He's not worried about kids or anything like that. I would say at the very least, even though they're not necessary for him, I wouldn't hold it against the M2 because it has those two seats.
I wouldn't either because the performance is just as good as the Cayman.
The performance and the driving dynamics on this car are so strong that they should speak for themselves.
I would
argue the fact that it has just consider it cargo space that it has behind the seats.
I would argue the dynamics are not on the same level as even the base Cayman.
Right.
But the numbers are there.
The numbers are there. Yeah. But I mean, the dynamics compared to just cars in general, the car world in as a whole, this car is in rarefied air, I would argue.
And it does seem special. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. It's just, you know, it's not
So sort of like maybe the last point on the M2, just to make sure it's even works, is so you know your parents' driveway.
Yes.
You know the situation there. Will this car be able to handle that?
I think it will.
So that shouldn't be a problem. All right, so the M2 basically
it's a player.
For him. I think to kind of summarize overall, I mean the pluses and minuses will be that it's going to be a great handling car.
Yeah,
it's going to be a car he can use a lot.
Probably going to feel quicker off the line. Just going to feel very quick. The way it's geared and the torque. Yeah,
it's kind of a last great analog throwback car.
Yeah, and let's just get this straight. It's a turbo 6 versus a turbo 4.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a straight 6. I think it's twin turbocharged, 3 liters. I think 300 horsepower. It's going to feel really
well. The M2 has more. It has more power, but it's heavier.
Yes. So it's not going to feel quite as if you were to drive it back to back with something mid-engine, for example, you're going to feel like it feels like a regular, a normal car. But it's definitely a player, and so it definitely should be considered.
Any reason not to get the M2? I think the retention won't be maybe on the level of a Cayman.
Yeah.
But I think it'll be pretty. Actually, no. I bet an M2 probably will retain the value just as well as a non-GT Porsche.
I think there's
better.
As much as anything, I think an M2 will still have some future appeal. I think it'll be like sort of like potential for future.
It'll always be a special car.
I think it'll always be a special car. You get a little bit worried about maintenance after you get outside of warranty. Like you said, maybe it's just like it might not be. You know, for where he is in his life right now, the fact that it is. It's a very highly tuned and very, very, very well done sports sedan.
Yeah.
But it is still a sports sedan.
Yes.
So it could feel a little everyday compared to something.
It's always going to push more than a Cayman, a mid-engine car.
Front engine, rear wheel drive is good until you have mid-engine rear wheel drive. Right. So,
but again, if you haven't had a lot of experience in a mid-engine car, the M2 is going to feel like a revelation.
Yeah. If he never drives anything else, this will feel like a Formula One car to him. So.
Have we beaten the M2 to death? Or it's time to move on to the Porsche?
I think so. Okay. I think we should take a quick break, and then we'll come back and we'll
be back. We'll have a verdict.
We'll discuss the candidates from Stuttgart.
Yes.
To see how they do. So
we'll be back. All right, we're back. We got another beer.
Yeah.
You know, beer's the fuel that keeps the show going,
it's the high octane gas that keeps this engine running.
Again, Brews Beer is our sponsor. We love you, but we don't have any today, so we are drinking some New Belgium and something special from Michigan called Bell's, which was a big deal when I lived in Chicago, and I have lots of friends, I was telling you, Doug, lots of friends with Bell's Brewery stories of beers.
Apparently everyone gets drunk at the Bell's Brewery.
So. Shout out to my friend Cindy, if you're listening. Yours is the best story. They're selling in Colorado now. I may mention this on an earlier broadcast, but it's very exciting. So now if we can just get New Glarus here out of New Glarus, Wisconsin. But
I'm not familiar with
that. Just do a beer show sometime.
I'd love
to get Ryan on from Brews and just talk beer for an hour and a half.
I'm in.
Drink beer. We won't just talk, we'll drink. drink.
We'll drink and talk beer.
It's hard to talk about it if you can't taste it first.
Yeah.
So we talked about the M2. We kind of beat it to death.
Yeah.
It's a strong contender here.
Strong contender, yeah.
Its only real negatives are that it's maybe not a true sports car in the same way that a mid-engined Porsche would be.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a better value proposition. It's cheaper for what you get.
Yeah.
You don't have to go crazy with the options because there are no options to get crazy with.
Yeah, you're getting the best one, and you're getting under $63,000like out the door. With the driving experience, you're getting that. So
that's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
So you can get a loaded new M2 comp for about the same price as a base no-option Cayman.
Yes.
Yeah. Or with a couple options.
Yeah. That's the problem. But
so, yeah, here we are. But, we're at the 718 Cayman.
So now we're at the 718 Cayman. So, all right. Well, so, and I think maybe it comes down to a decision between a base that's well spec'd.
Yes.
A very entry level S.
Yes.
Or the T.
The T.
Okay.
And I don't think my dad is going to notice the difference, and I hardly did, between the 300 horsepower and the 350 horsepower. Both of those numbers are probably wildly under what they actually are.
Let's talk about that. So the base Cayman, every single Cayman hits the mark of hitting of at least 300 horsepower.
Yeah.
And 300 pounds per feet of torque,
so
roughly.
Let's break it down here. Yeah. So you've got, for the listeners, the base and the T have the 300 horsepower, at least on paper, 2.0 single vane turbo. Mm-hmm. You step up to the S. That's still a four-cylinder, but it's a 2.5. It's a different engine with a variable vane turbo, making on paper 350 horsepower. Up until recently, there was the GTS with also that 2.5 liter, but with another 15 horsepower. Who knows? I saw plenty of tests where the S was faster than the GTS or whatever. So roughly the same engine, but some kind of a value-add package. We've talked about the GTS. Yeah. They're turning into a little more special thing moving forward, I think. But then to step up, then you go to the GTS 4.0 that gets you the 6. But that,
I think that's
that you're at $100,000.
I think you're at $80,000 minimum.
Well, I looked today; the cheapest one I could find was $90,000. And now I don't know if that's just what they're asking or what they're spec to or whatever.
Yeah.
And then the cheapest GT4 on paper or Spider is going to be $105,000, and we all know nothing's selling for $105,000.
Yeah,
I get pretty close with mine.
But
you know, there's not a GT4 in the land for sale for less than $125,000 right now. I don't think.
Yeah.
So
because most of them aren't.
So we can rule out the six cylinders, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think even the GTS 4.0 is just a bit out there.
But that's fine because, as we've talked about all the time, the four cylinders are great.
Well, I want to get into this with you a little bit because I noticed this is something that. Like, for example, Matt Farah made a point to say when he was test driving recently the Cayman T with the 2 liter,
right.
You know, single vane. Is it single vane turbo?
Yeah, turbo? I don't know if I'm
the
saying right.
The 300 horsepower engine.
Right. The S.
He said, in his opinion, that was a big problem for him. Because, like the 350 felt better.
Interesting.
You didn't notice that difference.
No, the big thing that I noticed wasn't even the power. Sure. I mean, the S has a little more power or whatever. Was not night and day. To me, the bigger thing was that the S had the torque and the power seemed to start lower and was flatter.
Mm-hmm.
The 2 liter kind of built up to the power.
Yeah.
But I like that because it reminded me of my 997 that I had up until about that point.
Mm-hmm.
You wanted to work for it a little bit more.
Yeah.
It wasn't as much excitement in the manual transmission S for me because I don't know. It just seemed like you weren't building toward a crescendo, right?
Okay.
Like it was more
it was just
of
like,
a
it's here, on it's
off,
always here,
on
it's
off,
there.
On
yeah,
off.
Yeah.
Now again, I spent less than an hour, you know, when I was shopping around behind, the S or whatever on the wheel of the S. But
that's not an insignificant amount of time, though.
No.
Okay, so you preferred the driving experience in the 2 liter. Smaller
for
engine.
The money I did.
Yeah.
Now, cost no object, sure, I would have taken the 2.5. But at the time, especially, I was on a budget.
Oh, well, okay.
And you had to buy what was available. And a lot of even the bases were optioned to high heaven. So, like, to find a budget, what we call our TSC spec, Cayman, was, you know, it was easier to find a more base than it was a base S.
What he means when he says the TSC spec, he means the steering committee.
That's right.
Spec.
Approved. We branded it with a hot iron brand.
We've been adamant and we've been longtime fans of trying to get the base version of every car you can.
Right.
So, okay. Okay, so
should we break down the difference between the base and the T for those listeners who maybe don't know? You have the same engine, but the T comes with some other stuff. It's the only non-GT Cayman, at least, where you can spec the bucket seats.
Yep.
Get those. How about this? How about I have him spec a T with the bucket seats, and then I trade him for the ones? Kidding.
Oh, and then get those. Wait, get those.
And I'd
be
the only one driving around with a GT4 with Cayman T bucket seats on the headrest, right?
Interesting.
But beyond that, there's a limited slip differential. I believe a mechanical on the manual.
Yeah.
So if you get the T, that isn't standard, or maybe even available on the base.
Yeah.
You get the upgrade seats in the base? So the ones I had in my base, but. The upgrade seats on the base are the standard seats on the T, then with the option of getting the full, you know, carbon buckets.
Yep.
What else? You did some research.
I've done some
graphics.
Which you can have. You don't have to have them.
Okay.
If you're ordering it from the factory, you can delete all those. Fix,
but we disagree on that.
Yeah, you can. So you get it. There's like a black stripe along the door.
That kind of works for me.
Yeah. You can have that deleted.
You get the pulls. You get like the GT style door pulls.
You get the cloth pulls
standard, which is cool.
Yeah, I think that's cool.
It just seems a little more special.
You get an option for like a sort of a cloth sport tech seat, which I love.
Versus the full leather.
You can put leather in, but the point is the standard seats are these like
standard with the 20-inch wheels, which are. On the base, you can get the 18, the 19, or the 20.
Yeah.
This has a standard 20-inch wheel.
Yeah.
There are two styles. There's sort of the Carrera style, the open spoke, and there's more of a fat spoke, five spoke, which looks good, but I think I'd take the more open.
Yeah, I like the more
standard
open.
T-wheel.
The one that looks a little lighter.
Yeah.
It's effectively what they do with the Cayman T is they take the base car and they throw almost all the good driving performance
features.
Sport
Chrono comes standard.
Standard.
Which is nice.
Throw it right
I didn't
at
have
it.
That on mine.
They throw it at it and it's on there. It's all baked in. It's 20 millimeters lowered.
Yes, than my car would have been.
Even a regular Cayman with PASM, which
okay.
I think, as I understand it, lowers it 10 millimeters.
And this is another 10.
Yeah. So it's basically trying to be their kind of like their garage band, like driver enthusiast sort of like stripped down car.
Of course, you know.
Which now, for me, that's hitting my sweet spot.
Right.
It has sport exhaust.
It does have sport exhaust. Okay.
Yeah, sport exhaust, and they're black. They're blacked out tips. It's black wheels, basically, which kind of differentiate it from the rest of the model line. So
well, they're not black.
Black
I think they're sort of satin finish, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think it's like a black. It's like a dark. It's
but either, they're not like on my car where they're painted black, right? It's more of an anodized finish.
But it's not like this shiny, you know, sort of chrome wheels
right,
or anything.
Right.
Like
right.
So, but. It's a really intriguing package.
It is.
Short shifter.
So not the same shifter as the GT3, but shorter than the base.
Yeah.
I think it's the same box as the base. It's just got, you know,
it's
shorter
basically,
shifter.
It's like it's a GT car, but on a budget. But, like, it gives you all the inputs that you want, like the things you touch and feel.
Yeah.
Makes that, like, really, like, a driver-engaged
car. Of course,
car.
We talked about this. It wasn't for sale when I bought my base.
Yeah. Yeah.
I probably would have been the perfect customer for the T.
This,
I think so. I think I would have stepped up for the T. And, of course, then there's the dilemma. It's what Farah talked about, we've talked about before. You're then getting close to an S.
So it throws all that stuff in, and it comes in sort of MSRP at around $67,700.
Uh-huh. Which is right in my dad's sweet spot here.
Yeah, $68,000. And you don't really have to spec it out much from there. Like, you can have some fun with some options, but, like, the stuff that it comes with automatically is, like, great.
Yeah.
So.
And I want to give a quick shout out here to Joe Rothman, who listened. He is a Porsche instructor. Joe, I don't know that I've ever met you in person, but I know we've crossed paths about cars for sale and such. If you happen to have anything in your inventory or a lead on anything that might fit the bill, please reach out to us at the Steering Committee Podcast.
We have a motivated buyer. Yeah,
so, we do.
Yeah.
So,
okay. So that's what. So
or our friends at Porsche Colorado Springs, or our friends at Stevenson, or Porsche Littleton, any of these places. If anyone has a lead, or if anyone has something we're not talking about that we need to know about, let us know.
So keeping in mind that that's what it is, it's really this like pure driver sort of experience. And the engine horsepower issue aside, how would your so that might be the right car for you now.
Right.
What if it's your dad?
Okay, so you should probably know where he drives.
Yeah.
So they live in a semi-rural area. It's sort of a tourist area. It's effectively a big island.
Yeah.
I'll leave it at that. So kind of one way in, one way out. It's literally a bridge.
Okay.
I think there are two bridges, but so they do have some twisty roads. It's nothing like we have here or even in other parts of the state that he lives in. But there are twisty roads. It's not like Texas where it's, you know. Okay. So, yeah, you can get away with a handling car there for sure.
Okay.
And he is not going to drive at the speeds that I drive. He's just not, you know.
Yeah.
And so, again, 300 horsepower I would think would be plenty.
Okay.
And I would say that the handling is probably a bigger priority for him than the power. But power is certainly a close second.
Okay, well, so then would he be...
No interstates where he lives.
Okay.
He's 2 hours away from an interstate.
Right, and this car primarily wouldn't be used for something like that. I mean, if he has to get somewhere, he'll do it, but it's like he wants to take this car out and have a fun drive with it.
Basically, yeah. Maybe take it down to... Well, here, I'll tell you. It lives in Wisconsin. Okay. So he'd probably go to Road America or something. Maybe he'd drive it there.
Okay.
But he's not going to run to Costco with it. He's not going to...
No, it's never
going to
be used for that.
Right.
Yeah. It's not going to be using for a commute on a highway.
Which is great, because most people can't say that, right? I mean, you have to have a little bit of practicality. He has to have no practicality
this car has to serve no practical purpose whatsoever.
Other than just having fun and providing entertainment.
Well, so knowing all that, but like, do you think, because what we're comparing it to is one of the other versions of the Camry.
Yeah.
Will he appreciate the fact that this one is a little bit odd because it's the base, but with some frills on it, but it's like a real driver's...
I wouldn't say odd, I'd say special. Yeah. And I would argue that a Cayman T, in a way, feels more special than the Cayman S.
Okay.
Because of these little touches, right?
Yeah.
Even if you don't go for the buckets, and I don't know that he would, but you know that they're there. The door pulls, the graphics, the limited slip. I mean, and I would argue that a Cayman T is probably going to hold its value relatively better than a Cayman S.
I think it will. If that's a part of the factoration, that's important there. Because the Cayman S's will be a commodity, you know.
Yes. Yep.
So,
yep.
There'll be a lot of them out there.
Why? Just for sake of argument, let's focus on the Cayman T.
Okay.
I think that might be the sweet spot. And as we know, the Cayman S's can quickly spiral, you know, cost wise, and can quickly become a non-player with that four cylinder. And again, I love the four cylinder, but you start adding up too many options. You might as well get the 718 GTS 4.0, and
I feel like for a while there, every week I was sending you a Cayman S or a base Cayman that was somehow spec'd to almost $100,000.
Yes.
And I was like, what?
What did I spec?
Is going on
what
here?
Did I spec? I remember I based on the configurator, spec'd a base Cayman with every awful, you know, mustard and ketchup interior.
Yeah.
And didn't I get something up to like $110,000 or $112,000 for a base Cayman?
That because you can do that. And then it's like, well, what are you doing here? I mean, you could have gotten a GTS 4.0.
You're getting close to a Carrera S911 at that point. Or a GT4, you know? It's just... for sake of argument, let's focus on the T. I think he's looking for something a little more special. And so I think that's
If he's been... I would argue this is like Porsche's version of the Miata.
Yeah.
I feel like it's basic, like I said, it's like it's all about the driver and car interaction experience. It's all about the engagement you have, you know, with that car. And I think that the limits on this car are going to be fairly high compared to what he's used to, but I don't think unattainable. I think like he would have fun exploring, and I think this is a car that might actually even make him like a better driver.
And and he's a great driver and all that. I mean, I don't think he's certainly not driving around like we're driving around. But I mean, he's going to push it a little bit. But at the same time, if you are used to driving, you know, 115, 200 horsepower cars, something like a C8 Corvette or a GT3 or something, that's a big jump.
We're
talking about tripling power.
Yeah.
So that 300 is sort of, that's a good logical step up, but it's still going to rock his world.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And it's and we should, and as we've always said, a 300, a published 300 horsepower from a Porsche is a solid 300 horse.
Well, we talked about all the cars up with.
Those are 300 horses.
Yeah, thoroughbred horsepower.
Each one is
a little hesitant, low. But once you whip them into action, then that's hot to trot.
The point is, there's less there's less drivetrain loss. It's right. If anything, Porsche is being
Porsche
modest.
Metaphors.
They're being modest with their numbers.
I agree.
Where other manufacturers are being probably.
And we've talked about how we think that they're probably closer, the base and the S, than you would, you know. I mean, it's we look at the road. The car and driver tested the base at 4.2 and the S at 3.9. You know, I mean, that's not. That's less than 50 horsepower, probably. But what do I know?
Well, all right. So then I know, and I don't. Again, as I've said, I don't know your dad, but like, will he won't mind the fact that it's not like he's not looking for like the fancy interior.
No. I think The 6 would feel more special than the 4.
Yeah.
But, again, I think we've pretty much ruled out the 6 as just on price point right now.
Yeah.
No, he doesn't need the leather dash or the deviated stitching. I don't think he wants a stripper. And that's why, again, why I think that the T is great, because it's got those special touches which elevate it a little. Even my base, you know, I had the bigger wheels. I had the sport seats. You know, there were a few touches, but it was pretty base. But even the base car doesn't feel... The materials are not like a new 992. Let's get that clear, right?
Yeah,
You're in the base one or the GT4 or somewhere in between. But no, I don't think he would spend his money on, say, leather dash and all that crap.
Okay, so he's not caught up in that.
No,
doesn't matter.
If he was buying a used car and it happened to have it, great. Yeah. You know, but yeah. I don't think he would spend his money for that. So
okay, all right. Well, so I think what we're saying, of the Cayman range, that's sort of in his price budget.
Yeah.
The T might be the sweet spot for him.
I think, why not? And again, we talked about before, there was quite a bit of a gulf between the base price of a base in a Cayman T. Now you said, what, it's about $5,000-$6,000?
Yeah. It's six. I think
I don't think I'd buy a base now. I think I'd get the T.
T is about just under $6,800.
Yeah.
And for that amount of money, you're going to feel... So, going back to what we were talking about the BMW, you were going to feel this is a very special car.
Yeah.
We're
in my backyard here, so we've got some kids in the neighborhood out and stuff. I hope you don't mind.
So some ambient noise.
Yeah. I'm not that old grumpy old man yet.
It's a special car.
Yeah.
It's two-seat. It's mid-engine. He's going to get all that. This is going to feel very special. I feel like this is a car he's going to be very satisfied to, like, sit in his garage and just sort of look at, drink a beer, just kind of look
absolutely.
At it, have his friends over. Apparently all of his friends, you know, that he has.
It's a no-excuse.
And just sort of, like, sit around and talk about it, you know.
It's a no-excuses car. I mean, you don't have to make any apologies for a Cayman T.
I don't think so. I think the fun of sort of maybe specking it out himself could also be brilliant. Yeah. I mean, I think part of this whole part of what's awesome about Porsche too is having that European delivery with it. So why not? You know.
How would we spec it for him? Keeping in mind the budget and keeping in mind that the T probably already has a lot of the stuff standard that we'd want to get, the nicer seats, the sport chrono.
Well, I can't tell. I just don't know. But I'll just tell you how how my dream spec, which is to pretty much go with everything that comes on it. I do like that sort of sport cloth, seats. That's where I would go for.
Okay. What about the exterior color?
I struggle with that. I would probably, I went back and forth with that. It looks great in red, especially with that black stripe along the bottom. I've seen one. There's one that I see now on a regular basis here in Denver that's black, but with the black stripes.
Yeah, you
on
sent
it.
Me a picture.
It kind of has like a ghost, a ghost stripe on it.
It's pretty cool.
That looks pretty awesome. Yeah. I don't know what. So let's talk about color. As far as colors,
so
what's
he
his
said
sort
he didn't
of,
want a white it? M2. So I'm thinking no white. I sent him the mock-up, you know, the configurator mock-up. I sent him, I think, was GT Silver. I think you can actually also get in an Arctic Silver now or something similar, sort of a lighter.
I think from what I recall, there's like a base non-metallic silver, and then I think GT Silver is an option.
Yeah, and I like that lighter silver, too. Yeah. You know, I mean, you see, like, R2 cars in the garage, the Volkswagen and the Porsche.
Yeah.
The Volkswagen has more of that bluer, lighter silver versus the darker sort of bronzy silver of the GT Silver.
Yeah.
I think that's the beauty of this is there's really not much you'd have to add.
Yeah.
If he can get his hands, and he might have to spec it to do so, but if he can get his hands on a truly, you know, base T, that's probably the sweet spot.
Get it. Don't get power seats.
Don't what's that stupid steering they try to sell you for $300? The assisted steering.
Don't get that.
You know,
but just, do get, like I said, the thing. Oh, get the smoker's package.
Get the footwell net.
Yeah,
I say get the fire extinguisher. This is something I wanted on my GT4, but the one I happened to get didn't have it, and I might spec it in. Just a little pop of color again, make it a little more special.
It's fun and it's a fun sort of like conversation piece.
Yeah,
like, this is a serious sports car. It comes with a fire extinguisher.
What about painted calipers or something?
Yeah.
It's not
just
for
me.
Just to give a little pop of color, okay.
But you got to look down. If you're ordering it out, make sure you go down deep into the options. I think it's under like accessories. Make sure you get that mechanics binder with the tools in it.
I still have never actually seen this, but Doug swears
it's there.
There is a mechanics binder.
It's there.
So it's got tools in it and stuff.
It looks
probably
like a,
standard
it looks like
in
a,
Europe.
It looks like a big day planner, basically. And, it zips around the outside, but when you open it up, it has all the tools in
it. And I know there are a few Porsche folks listening, you know, maybe Porsche corporate folks who are, you know, we know of, and I give me that damn triangle in my trunk. Mm-hmm. What does that cost? $2. I want this. I think that's so cool. They used to come in the American spec cars, and now they're only in the Euro spec. I want that toolkit standard, and I want a little, add $100 to the price. I want the little traffic triangle. I think that's the coolest thing.
Well, and I think this tool package
my first aid kit, all that stuff, all that Euro spec.
Costs about $400, but I mean, I don't know, who knows where the collector car market is going in the future, but you know, when these cars that did come with toolkits, okay, and you try and go and replace it because your car is missing it, it's like, it could be $20,000.
Okay.
So $400 right now, $20,000 in the future.
We've seen this. So, bring a trailer. Like, yeah. I mean, you know, give us this Porsche people. This is the kind of stuff that we get all excited about, right? Yeah, it's the little cheap stuff,
you know,
that make
it
special. Yeah. Like when I got when I got my first base Cayman and I got that box in the mail with the pen set and all that, that was super cool. When I got the GT4, I don't know what I was expecting. I got a certificate of authenticity, which was cool.
Yeah.
I like that kind of stuff. We eat that kind of stuff up.
We are nerds through and through, and we love this stuff.
So all that swag.
Keep it going. And it should be. It should be standard.
Yeah,
I feel like that's something where on the T that should be like standard, because it's almost like you're not going to work on your car, but it is like the driver's car, and you want all that stuff. You want like, you know, you're not trying to show off to anybody, but you're just kind of we just all want to be in our little nerd kingdoms here and just like, you know, nerd out on all these like little details.
That's what does it for us. You know, because we can't drive all the time.
Yeah.
We can't sit out and stare at the car all the time.
No.
So it's these other little things, right? We want to read about it. We want to, you know. I will admit, Doug, I have not cracked the driver's manual in the GT4 yet.
Yeah. Oh, no.
And I was always the guy that would pour over it, look through it.
First night you have it, you would go through it. Yes, yes, yes.
And for whatever reason, I just haven't. And we talked about it. The car still doesn't feel like mine. That's the problem.
I know, that's the thing. The problem is you think you're holding it for someone else.
And I'm afraid if I open it up, then I'm going to devalue it somehow, right? So, you know.
Well, we need to get like the electronic PDF version of it for you,
right,
so you can look through it. Yeah.
But it's important to me that it's there.
Yeah.
That's the thing, right?
You know what the ultimate king of this stuff is, right? Was the McLaren F1. Do you know what used to come if you bought a McLaren F1?
I'm going to know it when you tell me. But
when you bought a McLaren F1, you know what it came with?
Jay Leno in the trunk.
Well, no,
kidding.
But it came with an owner's manual.
Yeah.
But like all the pictures are like these beautifully hand drafted drawings of like showing you how to get in and out of the car and how to open up the luggage compartments.
Okay.
It came with fitted luggage.
Yeah.
In those two side pods.
Porsche doesn't do fitted luggage, at least not like Ferrari does.
No, I don't think so. It came with a rolling tool chest, like a standing, you know, about 2.5 feet tall.
And a Pentium 286
like
computer to access the OBD.
No, it didn't come with that, because that's the problem.
Right.
There's only like two of those computers still functioning to diagnose the problem.
Wait, somebody explain that to me.
Yeah.
Why can't we put that on a current
Why
computer,
can't we update that? I don't
make
know.
A connector that fits and call it a day. I cannot believe that there are these two computers worldwide that you know are these precious
of all the things we've done in high tech.
30-year-old,
all things done in high tech. That seems like an oversight, but I mean, but that the F1 is like the king of all this sort of nerdy sort of accessory stuff that you get, you know, when you bought it. So I encourage you to look at. There was a YouTube video. I think I sent you a link about where they showed you a version of this that had it all perfectly preserved.
Yes,
and it was just like. Like he was doing what we would do. He was like opening it up and showing you where everything is, you know, where the you know, all the little accessories are, all the like the triangle and the traffic stuff like that. And
also
it was fascinating.
If anyone from Porsche is listening, and again I think hope maybe a couple of you are, I would love to buy a model of every Porsche I've owned, but not something different color. The same specs, same wheels, same color.
Bespoke.
Right.
Yeah.
And I would pay a few hundred bucks for a small model, maybe several hundred dollars. I would love to have each of the cars that I've owned. Now, this is my third one. I want to have a 2005 997 Carrera S with PCCBs. I want to have a 2017 base Cayman on the 19-inch wheels. And I want to have a silver GT4.
You have no idea how close to my heart you've gotten with this comment, because that is exactly what I wanted too. When I and to the point, and again, if anyone's listening, yes, this is a great option package. You go down,
yes,
and then at the very end you check off like you know, 1/24th scale diecast model of my exact spec.
$300 I won't think twice.
No.
Done.
Right on.
Put it on the assembly line. Spray it with the car. I don't care, but I want this. If you had to paint a sample car, this would rock your world.
I was so obsessed with this idea that when I had my WRX, I tried to find one. And that's a very common car.
Yeah.
It was a very common car. It was difficult to find. I had a 2014 white pearl satin hatchback.
Yeah.
I could not find anything that looked exactly like it. I had to buy from Japan a plastic kit that I had to put together.
Well, they say the Miata is always the answer. Japan is always the answer for this kind of stuff. Yeah, they have it. Someone made this.
But it wasn't exact because it was technically an STI model, but it looked a lot like mine.
Well, a little aspirational then. Yeah.
But I had to assemble it myself, and I did a terrible job.
Oh, wow.
I have it still, and
that's
I'm very
proud
of it.
That's where I stopped reading, but that's just me.
Yeah, and then when I got the 2.5 Legacy GT, our man in Japan, RJ, hooked me up. He found a diecast model of my exact car. And he sent it to me.
Our Man in Japan, I think the episode was called Our Man in Japan / The Bucktooth Wonder.
Yeah.
There was some confusion at the time whether he was the Bucktooth Wonder. He is not. He's a handsome fella if I ever saw one.
Yeah.
That is still, to this day, our most downloaded episode. So,
excellent.
RJ, well, you're
RJ, you're still a hero in the TSC.
Yeah. And that model is awesome. So,
But
short of RJ tracking down these models for us in Japan.
But if you don't have this, so I'm doing this, you would do it. Yeah, and it's like, absolutely. That's like a no-brainer. Yeah. So, just
on the list and done. Porsche, please do this.
With 3D printers these days, it's I feel like it's very easy to like sort of manufacture this stuff.
Well, so. I don't know how they. I think these are generally metal, right? So you wouldn't be able to 3D print them.
Well, no, you do the bodies in metal, but all the customized bits. Right. So like to get your exact wheels, you do kind of a 3D printer.
What do we know? But
actually, it could be for Porsche. It could be like you start off in the model factory. You know, speccing out the car so the customers before you get the apprenticeship in the actual factory.
And there you go.
You know,
so. And being Porsche, and we love you, but you could probably charge $1,200 and me and everyone else would still do it. You don't know how much I hear this from people.
Yeah.
I want a model of all the cars I sold and regret selling or couldn't afford to keep them all or had to sell to move up to the next one or whatever.
You know, because they have that whole they have that whole certificate department, the one that sort of like, you know, goes back and like sort of builds you like a certificate
which they
of authenticity.
Sent me after the GT4,
which
is super
because
cool.
With the build sheet, they have the codes from it. And even if you don't have your car anymore, you kind of like want to have like a model build of a Porsche you used to own. If you happen to have that build sheet, send it over to them, and they would be able to pop out like that car.
Now,
right?
And us being us, I would like to own every car ever owned. So, 2000 Volvo S40, 2001 Audi A4 2.8.
Yeah.
You know, I want a car for everything I've owned, but I especially want the Porsches.
Yeah. Well, because it's like, I mean, I think guys like us just also like. We dig on models. We like to have that like on our desk or something, or in our garage.
Don't tell your wife,
huh? Oh, well, dig. No, not that kind of model. But
what's best movie ever, or one of my favorite movies? Beautiful Girls. I've told you about this.
Love that movie.
And there is that scene with Michael Rapaport, where he's talking about models. We need models.
Yeah. His whole philosophy is built around like the beauty.
I think we just have the name of our new episode.
And the hope of models. But
Bottled Promise.
That's right.
The best movie.
That's
anyway,
a great, that's a highly underrated,
we should wrap this
great
up.
Movie though. But all right. So do we have to make a conclusion here?
I think we have to make a conclusion. I am okay. Now, with my academic history, I never had the luxury of a safety school.
Yeah.
I think the M2 is our safety school, and I think the Cayman is our...
And specifically, I think we're recommending Cayman T, and
right.
I agree. Yeah.
Also, another wonderful movie, Rushmore. What was the quote? Well, Harvard was my number one, Princeton was my safety, or something like that. I'm butchering that, and I love that movie, and I know pretty much all the lines except for this one, apparently. But I think that's it. I think go for the Cayman T, your backup is your M2, and you can't go wrong either way.
You will be very happy with either of these choices, I feel bad for the M2 kind of coming up as like a runner up on this. That is a fantastic car.
It's a yes.
You will love
we
it.
Should all be so.
We should also be
blessed
so
to own an M2. But
if I had to pick, I would say Cayman T.
Yeah.
If I had the budget that your father had for this right now, that's what I would be doing right now.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
Yeah, so
and models, we need models, and we'll leave it at that.
We need. In one way or another, we need models.
We need models.
Life, so, right.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Quick shout out to our friends at Brews Beers.
Yeah.
Quick shout out. Let's just leave it at this. We have some really interesting shows coming up.
Yeah.
Got some new partnerships, some folks that have reached out to us about being on the show, and possibly even a smoking tire road. We're not the smoking tire. Sorry. The steering committee.
Yeah.
Aspirational.
Well, we might be
a steering committee. I was thinking California, and then I got confused.
Our little GarageBand podcast
might be going on the road.
Might be going a tour. So
there's going to be some good stuff that comes out of that. So, until next time, thank you.
Thank you.